All right, so let's say you're about to go scuba diving for the first time.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, right? You're signing all the paperwork and waivers and stuff.
Yeah, you know the drill.
And then the worst happens.
Oh no.
Through some negligence by the instructor, you end up dying.
Tragic.
It is a terrible outcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is all hypothetical, of course, but what happens next? Can your family sue even though you signed that waiver? That's what we're going to be looking at today.
Interesting.
It's a really important California case called Madison v. Superior Court, and it deals with the enforceability of those recreational liability waivers we all sign without thinking.
Yeah, those waivers are everywhere nowadays.
They really are.
And for you, as a law student, this case, Madison, is like a must-know.
Yeah, for sure.
It gives you this really solid understanding of how the courts try to balance personal responsibility with things like negligence, especially when we're talking about leisure activities.
Makes sense.
So we'll break down the core legal arguments and look at why this case from 1988 is still relevant today.
Right. And to do that, we'll be looking at the California Court of Appeals decision in Madison v. Superior Court, and we'll also be checking out the concurring opinions for some extra insights.
Sounds good.
So let's start by setting the scene. What happened that led to this landmark case?
Well, this case revolves around a really sad incident where a guy named Ken Sulich-Manajic died while taking a YMCA scuba diving course.
Oh, wow.
And here's the key point. Before he even got in the water, Ken signed a liability waiver.
Oh, so he signed one of those things.
Yeah, and this wasn't some generic form. It's specifically said that the YMCA and the instructor Norman Madison were not responsible for anything that happened because of their negligence. And this is important. It even mentioned wrongful death.
So even if they messed up and he died, they weren't liable.
That's what the waiver said.
Wow. So what happened after Ken's death?
Well, as you can imagine, Ken's parents sued the YMCA and Madison for wrongful death.
Yeah, I would think so.
And you'd think that with that signed waiver, the YMCA and Madison would have a pretty good defense, right?
It seems like a slam dunk case.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they argued. They said that the waiver meant the parents couldn't sue.
So what happened?
Well, the trial court initially thought there were some issues with the case that needed to be sorted out,
Okay.
but then the appellate court came in and said, nope, the waiver stands, and they reversed the trial court's decision.
Interesting. So the waiver was enough to protect them.
That's right.
Okay, so now we have this conflict between the waiver and the right of family members to sue for wrongful death. How did the court figure that out?
Right. So the court had to look at the difference between waiving your own rights and the rights of other people.
Okay.
And they started by saying a person can't just sign away their heirs' rights to sue in the future.
So my mom can't sign a waiver that would prevent me from suing someone if she died because of their actions.
That's the general idea. Your right to sue for wrongful death is yours and yours alone. No one else can give that up for you.
Okay, I get it. So how did that play out with the waiver Ken signed? How did it stop his parents from suing?
That's where express assumption of risk comes in.
Okay.
The court looked really closely at the waiver Ken signed and what it said.
Right.
And remember, this wasn't just a general, we're not responsible if you get hurt kind of thing.
It was more specific.
Way more specific. It clearly said that Ken was releasing them from liability for negligence, and it even specifically included wrongful death.
So he basically said, I know this is risky and I'm okay with that, even if you guys mess up.
Exactly. By signing that waiver, he was demonstrating what the court called an express assumption of risk.
Makes sense.
He was saying, hey, I know scuba diving is dangerous, and I'm accepting those risks, even if the YMCA or the instructor make a mistake.
So it wasn't like he was waiving his parents' right to sue. It's that he took on the risk himself, and that stopped them from suing.
Precisely. He was accepting the possibility of negligence, and that removed the basis for their claim.
Interesting. Okay, so that's a subtle but important difference. And the court also looked at something called the public interest exception, which has something to do with the Tunkel case, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they did. The court drew a distinction between recreational activities like scuba diving and things like essential public services. So you've got the Tunkel v. Regents of University of California case, which lays out this whole set of rules about when waivers can be thrown out because they go against what's good for the public.
Okay.
Think about hospitals. We all want to make sure hospitals are held accountable if they're negligent, right? You can't just sign away your right to sue a hospital if they screw up, because we as a society need to make sure people can get good health care.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So how did the court apply that logic to Ken's situation with scuba diving?
Right. So the court basically said that recreational activities aren't like essential services.
Because you don't need to go scuba diving.
Exactly. They looked at those Tunkel factors,
Yeah.
you know, whether the service is considered essential, if it's heavily regulated by the government, stuff like that.
Okay.
And they said those factors aren't as important when you're talking about something like scuba diving, which is a voluntary activity.
So it's different from like needing to go to the hospital or something.
Right. With scuba diving, you're choosing to do it. It's not a necessity.
So the court decided there was no reason to get rid of the waiver because it was about a recreational activity.
Exactly.
Okay, what if the instructor had really messed up though? Like, what if they violated some basic safety rule? Would the waiver still protect them?
That brings up the idea of reasonably related negligence.
What does that mean?
Okay, so even if the instructor was negligent, like if they didn't follow the buddy system, like they were supposed to, the waiver might still be valid.
So even if they made a mistake.
Yeah. The important thing is whether the negligence was the kind of thing that could reasonably be expected to happen during a scuba diving course.
I see.
So the waiver is meant to cover the inherent risks of learning to scuba dive. You know, those twists that come with the activity itself.
Right.
But if the instructor did something crazy or intentional, something that was way outside the normal risks of the activity, then the waiver might not protect them.
Okay, so it needs to be something that you could foresee happening.
Yeah, like if the instructor intentionally gave Ken faulty equipment or something.
See.
But for regular instructional negligence, even if it ends up being really bad, the waiver can still work as long as it's written clearly.
Okay, so it doesn't need to list every single possible thing that could go wrong, just the general risks involved in scuba diving.
Basically.
All right, so the concurring opinions in Madison also had some interesting points to make, right? What were the key takeaways from those?
Absolutely. So Justice Klein really focused on how clear the waiver's language was.
Oh, okay.
He said that even if there were some parts of the risk disclosure that weren't totally clear, it didn't really matter in this case.
Okay.
What mattered was that the waiver very specifically said that the YMCA and the instructor weren't responsible for negligence, including wrongful death.
Right.
The fact that it was so clear about releasing them from liability was the most important thing.
Got it.
Then you have Justice Arabian, who focused on how formal the waiver was. He said that because the waiver was drafted so carefully and precisely, it showed how serious it was meant to be. It
Interesting.
wasn't just some quickly written document. It was a well-thought-out legal agreement that was meant to communicate very clearly that Ken was assuming the risk.
I see.
So both of these concurring opinions really highlight how important it is to have clear and specific language when you're drafting legal documents.
Absolutely. And for our listener out there who's studying to be a lawyer, what are some of the practical takeaways from the Madison case?
Well, the biggest one is to be super careful about how you write liability waivers.
Yeah.
If you're drafting one, you have to make sure it specifically mentions negligence. And if you're dealing with an activity that could cause serious injury or death, you should make sure the waiver mentions those possibilities too.
So be as clear and specific as possible.
Exactly. The clearer the language, the more likely it is that a court will uphold the waiver later on.
Okay, what else?
Another important takeaway is to be aware of those public policy limits we talked about before.
Right, those Tunkel factors.
Yeah. You need to know when an activity or service is considered so essential that a court might not enforce a waiver.
Like the hospital example.
Right.
And finally, we need to remember the difference between someone assuming risk and waiving their heir's right to sue.
That's a crucial point. A person can't just sign away their family's right to file a wrongful death lawsuit.
Right.
But if they sign a waiver saying they accept the risks, including the risk of negligence, then that waiver can be used as a defense against a wrongful death claim.
Okay, so the family still has the right to sue, but the waiver might prevent them from winning.
Exactly.
So to wrap up, what did the court ultimately decide in Madison v. Superior Court?
Well, they ruled that the waiver Ken signed was valid and that it stopped his parents from suing.
Okay.
They basically said that Ken knew the risks of scuba diving and chose to accept them, and the court decided that his choice would be respected.
And that's why this case is so important. It shows how powerful clear and specific language can be in legal agreements.
Yeah, and it makes us think about the balance between individual freedom and accountability. When someone chooses to do something risky like scuba diving, how much responsibility do the people providing that activity have?
It's a really interesting case with a lot to think about. So for our listeners out there, the next time you see a liability waiver, whether you're the one writing it or signing it, take a minute to really understand what it says.
Good advice.
Think back to what we've talked about today and consider what this ruling could mean for other activities.
Right.
How could changing ideas about safety and responsibility affect how these waivers are interpreted in the future?
That's a good question.
It's something to think about.
It really is. And it's an area of law that's still evolving.
So keep learning and stay curious.
Is it?